Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Disability Law and Police Intervention Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On May 18, 2015, the Supreme Court issued its decision in City and County of San Francisco v. Sheehan. This case asks two questions. The first is whether law enforcement officers are required by the Americans with Disabilities Act to accommodate a mentally ill suspect who is armed and hostile while they are bringing the suspect into custody. The second question is whether it was clearly established that even where an exception to the warrant requirement applied, an entry into a residence could be unreasonable under the Fourth Amendment by reason of the anticipated resistance of an armed and violent suspect within. In an opinion delivered by Justice Alito, by a vote of 6-2, the court dismissed the grant of certiorari on the first question as improvidently granted. On the second question, the court held that the officers were entitled to qualified immunity from suit because they did not violate any clearly established Fourth Amendment rights. The Chief Justice and Justices Kennedy, Thomas, Ginsburg, and Sotomayor joined Justice Alito's majority opinion. Justice Scalia filed an opinion concurring in part and dissenting in part, joined by Justice Kagan. Justice Breyer took no part in the consideration or decision of the case. The judgment of the Ninth Circuit was reversed in part and the case remanded. To discuss the case, we have Tom Getty, who is a principal in Morgan Lewis Consulting and of counsel to Morgan Lewis and Bacchus. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Getty.
This is Tom Getty with a post-argument SCOTUS cast. On May 18, 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court dismissed in part, reversed and remanded in City and County of San Francisco versus Teresa Sheehan. As a result, the court did not decide the question whether Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, requires law enforcement officers to provide accommodations to an armed, violent, and mentally ill suspect in the course of bringing the suspect into custody, the first question presented. All eight justices considering the question agreed it should be dismissed as improvidently granted. Justice Breyer recused himself as his brother was the trial judge below. Six of the eight justices decided the second question presented, whether the two police officers involved were entitled to qualified immunity from liability for injuries suffered by the suspect. In that question, the majority reversed the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and found the qualified immunity for the officers, there being no showing of a violation of a clearly established statutory or constitutional right of the suspect. Justices Scalia and Kagan concurred in part as to the first question presented and dissented in part as to the second question, concluding the majority should have dismissed the second question as well. To understand why the court dismissed the question relating to whether the ADA applies in this situation, it is worthwhile to review the background of the case. Two female San Francisco police officers followed up on a report from a social worker who reported that Teresa Sheehan, located in her apartment at her group home for mentally ill individuals, threatened the social worker with a knife and threatened to kill him. Sheehan subsequently threatened the officers with the knife, and the officers left the apartment, but decided to re-enter and disarm Sheehan. At that point, they were charged by Sheehan, wielding the knife and threatening to kill them. After attempting to subdue her with pepper spray, which did not stop her, the officers drew and fired their weapons at her, injuring her seriously in the process. The district court granted summary judgment to the city when Sheehan sued on various claims, including violations of the Fourth Amendment and the ADA. Judge Charles Breyer, relying in part on a Fifth Circuit decision, ruled that the officers, quote, attempted to detain a violent, mentally disabled individual under exigent circumstances. It would be unreasonable to ask officers in such a situation to first determine whether their actions would comply with the ADA before protecting themselves and others, close quote. The Ninth Circuit, relying on other circuit court decisions, reversed and remanded on the ADA claim, concluding that Title II applies to arrests. The dismissal by the court of the first question presented arose from the difference in the petition from San Francisco and the subsequent argument forwarded by the city on the merits. The petition, which triggered the granting of certiorari, asserted a split in the circuits on the question of whether the ADA applies to the actions of the officers when confronting and moving to arrest an armed and dangerous suspect who is mentally disabled, and took the position that the ADA did not apply in such situations. On the merits, however, the city argued the ADA did apply, but that the Act's requirements for modification on policies, practices, or procedures would not have eliminated the significant risk that she imposed to the officers, thereby removing her from being, quote, qualified, close quote, for an accommodation under the Act. Because the circuit split related not to how the ADA might apply to such a situation, but to whether it applied at all, the majority politely concludes, quote, we do not think that it would be prudent to decide the question in this case, close quote. Justice Scalia, joined by Justice Kagan, was a little more blunt. In his opinion, he suggests the city took the position that it did in the petition, quote, to induce us to grant certiorari, close quote. In dissenting on the question of reaching the second question presented, he says, quote, I would not reward such bait-and-switch tactics to reach the second uncert-worthy question, close quote. He suggests the important reason to decline to reach both questions presented is to, quote, avoid being snookered and to deter future snookering, close quote. On the second question presented, as noted, six justices conclude that the officers were entitled to qualified immunity. The majority agreed that the first entry by the officers was not unconstitutional, as law enforcement may enter a home without a warrant to render emergency assistance or protect an occupant from immediate injury. Additionally, had she not been disabled, the officers could have opened the door the second time without violating her constitutional rights. In part, the court noted that when the entries are part of a single continuous search and seizure, the officers are not required to justify the continuing emergency with respect to the second entry. But also the court noted the officers knew Sheehan had a weapon and had threatened to use it to kill three people. As the Fourth Amendment standard is reasonableness, it is reasonable for the police to move quickly if delay would gravely endanger their lives or the lives of others. As Sheehan kept coming after the officers, even after being pepper sprayed, the use of potentially deadly force was justified. The only question, then, is whether the officers not attempting to accommodate the disabled Sheehan was a Fourth Amendment violation. And here, the majority notes that the constitutional question was not adequately briefed. Thus, as the court had not previously, and was not about to resolve that question in this case, the officers' failure to accommodate Sheehan's illness did not violate clearly established law. Without violating clearly established law, the officers were entitled to qualified immunity. The majority tangled with the Ninth Circuit at this point, noting that the court had previously, quote, repeatedly told courts, and the Ninth Circuit in particular, not to define clearly established law at a high level of generality, close quote. The Ninth Circuit in the case below held that only the objective reasonableness test applies to excessive force claims under the Fourth Amendment. The majority concludes, quote, qualified immunity is no immunity at all if clearly established law can simply be defined as the right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, close quote. The majority found the cases relied upon by the Ninth Circuit were a poor fit to this case and led the circuit court wrongly to believe that any reasonable, competent officer is on notice that it is unreasonable to forcibly enter the home of an armed, mentally ill suspect who had been acting irrationally and threatened anyone who entered when there was no objective need for immediate entry. The majority says no precedent clearly established that there was not an objective need for immediate entry here. The majority even states that, quote, no matter how carefully a reasonable officer read the cases relied upon by the circuit, the Ninth Circuit, beforehand, that officer could not know that reopening Sheehan's door to prevent her from escaping or gathering more weapons would violate the Ninth Circuit's test, close quote. The majority then concludes, without that fair notice, an officer is entitled to qualified immunity. A final note. In the concurring and dissenting opinion, Justice Scalia provides a footnote explaining that San Francisco, the city, will still be subject to liability under the ADA if the trial court determines that the facts demanded accommodation. Only the officers are entitled to the immunity. Of course, San Francisco took some risk in changing its position between the cert petition and the merits briefing, and it drew some stinging language from at least two justices and a more polite rebuke from the majority in the dismissal. Upon remand, additional questions will be addressed and others resolved. As to the question of whether the ADA applies to these police confrontations with mentally ill suspects and not how it applies, that question awaits another day and another case.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.